You're listening to the Cross Brand Sunday Morning Service on HLE Radio. Now here is Pastor Mike Morrow with today's message.
This morning as we look to one of my favorite characters, it's kind of a part two from last week, and it is a great man named Elijah who took a stand. Now there's a lot of other things I could say about him, but I just want to talk about specifically people he confronted and why he confronted them. And then ultimately, the results of that. We all know, you know, the definition of a stand. It is kind of a military term. It means to adopt a firm position about an issue. And it doesn't matter whether it's an intervention in your family, whether it is your thoughts on abortion, whether it is when you go really to the ballot box. The harder ones, though, are the interpersonal stuff. When it's dealing with an employee, an employer, a very close friend, a spouse, a family member. I understand that. There's a right time and a wrong time to take a stand. And so I want to take you into Elijah's life, show you where he took some stands. But you know, this is 700 years before Jesus Christ was even born. And Israel, God's people whom he had blessed, were in such a mess. They had turned to false gods, false religion. They had really not even turned away from the Lord. They had commingled the two. And that's one of the things that's so dangerous today about some of the false doctrines that we see floating around out there, especially in the progressive Christianity movement. It's because really what they're doing, they're not saying replace your Christianity. They're saying combine Christianity. And let me insert a few things, which is horrible and very deadly. And he comes along. He's the Lord's man for the time. And even though Israel had been blessed, they knew their history. All they had to do was talk to their great-grandparents about what God had already done. And anyhow, they didn't. Now, there's four key words that you'll hear over and over again today. Number one is Elijah. We know very little about him. He is a typical Old Testament prophet, though. The dude was a wild man, just like all the other prophets. He dressed like all the other prophets. Matter of fact, some people in the New Testament got him and John the Baptist confused. Elijah is God's man for the time. And then there's a man named Ahab who gets the, instead of the most likely to succeed list, he's on the least likely to succeed list as far as kings of Israel. He did a terrible job. And he did a terrible job because of this crazy heifer, Jezebel. Now, she was raised not in a faith family. She was raised in a family where her dad was actually a priest of Baal. Basically, Jezebel was running the show in Israel at that time. And the reason is Ahab gave in to Jezebel, who was raised by a false prophet, and they promoted Baal. And Baal had gotten so big in Israel by that time, they even had different denominations of Baal. I didn't know that till two or three, 4 weeks ago when I studied. So they'd kind of have like the Methodist version, they'd have the Baptist version, they had a Church of Christ version. It was all bad. And it was all about the fertility god, the weather god, fertility in people, fertility in the land. This god was supposed to be in charge of lightning. And this god required a lot of sacrifice, though, one of which was children. And oftentimes you'd walk by, kiss one of the Baal statues, even at times, during certain times of the season, if you wanted your crops to do good, you gave up your firstborn. This is crazy, the way they were doing. It's Las Vegas on steroids is what Israel looked like. You could go to a Jewish temple, and you could go to a Baal temple. And everybody's sitting right beside each other. And so this is where Israel is. And we see Elijah, being God's man, stepping up and taking a few stands. He took a stand on the drought, said, okay, your Baal god is such an important fertility god and god of the rain. How about this one? It ain't going to rain until God tells me it'll say so. He also confronted the king face to face. He also confronted the people of Israel. And this is where that iconic verse comes from. It's in 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah approached all the people. He said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if you choose Baal, follow him. Get off the fence, pick a side, is what he said. And then he also confronted all the prophets of Baal. And we talked about that last week. It's not necessarily a non-sarcastic thing that he did, but it was pretty sarcastic what he would say and how he would taint and he would kid those prophets of Baal to no avail. They couldn't get their god, Baal, to wake up. And of course, you know what happens, right? God sends fire on the altar and it scares all of them to death. God shows out. Then he also confronts the future of Ahab and his family. And it's a horrible thing. And it's like I said last week, I was a little hesitant to read the whole thing about the dogs and the blood and all that other stuff. But I will tell you, It's just a terrible thing to get on the wrong side of the Lord. Y'all agree? I mean, it's just a terrible thing. So I went ahead and put that in. I hope none of the kids that were in here last week had any nightmares because of it. But you know, you probably have an opportunity to take a stand. There's going to be a lot of you sitting here. You may recognize a story and think it's yours, and it may be. I didn't ask you permission to tell it. I'll change your name. But seriously, there's several of you here this week that have taken a stand. And there's several of you here, based on what you told me last week, you're struggling with a stand right now. If you go your entire life as a believer and you never take a stand, you never stand up for anything to anyone, you've missed the point on Christianity, because we're going to have to confront and we're going to have to hold people accountable. That's just part of our Christian walk. It may be in your family. It may be within employment some way. It may be distancing yourself from an unhealthy relationship. It can be many things. I know there was a couple of you that have already told me about the stands you took this week. And so let's talk about this. Where I need to pick up today is, you know what Elijah did? He boldly stood up, and you're going to see that boldness crumble in just a second. He's not superhero. He really spirals downward because of some of the stands he takes. But let me tell you, and I should have retitled this and retagged this, but this is really the ingredients for taking a stand. Listen, if you can't say that these two are the basis for you taking a stand, I want you to rethink it. Because a lot of you are going to go to the Cracker Barrel today, right? I know you are, old people. And the server is going to bring you sweet tea instead of unsweet tea. And here's what's going to happen. Some of you are going to go ballistic. Can't you hear? Spit it all over the table like something wrong with you. And you make this big old scene. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. And if you're the spouse of the guy that does that, please video it next time, and I will mass post it on my Facebook page and show you what not to do if you're a believer. Okay, and so, but what's this? What if your kid comes home and he's been stealing from you? And you go, oh, well, it's another chance. I'm giving him $100 every 2 days. I think it's going to charity. Could we say this? Could we say this word in church? Idiot. So let's talk about taking a stand. There's two necessary components or ingredients, and this happened to Elijah. Number one is all of our stands must be based on Scripture. All of our stands must be based on Scripture. That means Elijah, in chapter 17, then the word of the Lord came to him. The word of the Lord is what we got right here. It's Scripture. It's the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, we have this whole worldview that we can look through. It's this lens of scriptural thinking. It's like putting a set of glasses on, and the lens is Scripture. And so when we're deciding which stand we take, we have to ask ourselves, is it based on conviction from Scripture, or is it just your preference? You know, the T thing. And, you know, remember the last thing you commented on Facebook? Was that necessary? I mean, was that really based on a biblical stand? And if it was, if you were a jerk about it, then whatever biblical stand you took, you just X'd it out because you're a jerk. Let me tell you the difference between a conviction and a preference. If somebody were to invite your 12-year-old granddaughter to a ranch dance that they did it to 4-H, and they were teaching them two-step and the bunny hop and all them other dumb songs we mock or whatever, I don't even know what they are, because I don't do dumb songs. But some of y'all know what they are. And so it's this fun dance, right? We do a fun dance here. I know the Church of Christ disagree. We do a fun dance here. We did it 2 weeks ago. And you should have seen the dads out there acting like they ain't got no sense with their daughters. And it was wonderful. I loved it. So I'm saying this is completely hypothetical, because we're online right now, and I'm sure somebody's going to share this with somebody. So here I go, honey. So hypothetically, somebody's granddaughter got invited to this dance that had, It was for all ages. Even some of them had graduated. 18-year-olds. Hypothetically, this person's granddaughter was 12. And hypothetically, it was at this rodeo association. This rodeo association is very strong. Many of you have been involved in this. And this rodeo association announcer comes on and says two things. Now, honey, correct me if I'm saying some of this wrong, because I don't want to get slammed. Number one, they say, we're going to have a dance. It's going to be all ages. Ready? Listen to this. No parents allowed. Is that what we heard? Are you shaking your head? I can't see you. No parents allowed. So that means, hypothetically, a 12-year-old is going to be with an 18-year-old walking hormone. Okay. Oh, hear me out. Gets better. And they said, yes, there's going to be all kinds of dancing, including grinding. How do I not cuss right now? Not no, but heck no. And you insert whatever you want to put in. Come, what? Time to take a stand, ain't it? Yeah, it's time to step up. It's time. I see some of the parents grinning. They said, yeah, we were in that same association, but fortunately, we had boys in it. Yeah, I know, that's even better. Guys, Albert Mohler said this one time. He said, convictions are not merely beliefs we hold to. They are those beliefs that hold us in their grips. When you're taking a stand, make sure it's based on Bible. Okay? Number two, because I got to go fast. You're going to have to place faith or doing over feeling. Most of us, when we take a stand, we're always driven by emotions. And so if your kid's going to get mad at you, you know, you're a parent trying to be their best friend, which is stupid. I don't like getting on to my kids. I told my granddaughter yesterday, I said, I know I'm going to have to get on to you sometime, but Lord help me. That's my lily flower. What am I supposed to do with her? As far as I'm concerned, she's perfect. And she got all the perfect in that family because the two boys, again, are spawn. And I can get on to them, and it don't bother me a bit, but the day that I have to get on to Lilyflower, I'm going to have to practice what I'm preaching to you right now. And that's what, okay, watch this. I heard a guy say this one time, you always put the wheel first. You always make a decision with your brain and not your emotions. Because if you do, you're probably not going to make the right choice. See, Elijah is going to do the thing that Solomon would recommend to all of us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Hey, do not rely on your understanding. What's your understanding? It's usually your feelings-driven decision-making. And those are the worst ways to make decisions. And that's the worst way to make a stand. And so here's my proof. And I can give you a couple, two or three examples. I can give you two examples from this morning's service. If you want to answer this question by raising your hand, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine. But think about it. Did you really feel like coming here this morning? Okay, that didn't go that way. All right, how many of you didn't really feel like coming this morning? I mean, think about it. Thank you. Are you glad you did? See? That's the way that works. Works in my life all the time. Look at Seth and Mama baby back there, and I guarantee you, they sleep all night. Yeah, exactly. We got two young parents and one of the prettiest babies in the building. And that little devil, he don't care about their schedule. He don't care nothing about Crossbrand having to get up and be here. So he just does what a baby does. Poops, eats, and sleeps, and screams. Just like his grandfather's. And I'm in all four of those things. Yes, his grandfathers do. But they got up and they came anyhow. And I bet old Seth's glad he came. I bet he's glad he came. you know, but he didn't feel like it. I looked over this morning, and you know he was sitting up there next to where Honey was sitting? Mark Johnson and Sandy Johnson. Mark Johnson, a former elder. Many of you know Mark Johnson. I got a phone call yesterday at noon. His 87-year-old dad was in an automobile accident on Friday night, and they had to pull him off of life support yesterday at noon. And Mark Johnson and Sandy are sitting right over there. You think they felt like being here? But ultimately, when they got here, they got encouraged. Just do it. I promise you, the feelings will come after the will, the act. After the act. Max Lucado says, the presence of fear does not mean you have no faith. Fear visits everyone, but make your fear a visitor and not a resident. Real quick. All right. I wish I could tell you that, boy, old Elijah took a stand and they gave him a parade. Yeah, they wanted to parade his head around. Here's some of the things that are going to happen after you choose to do what you're going to do. And some of you did it this week. I heard from some folks this morning that had to take some pretty staunch family stands this week. And it went as expected. I can't tell you it will always go well. It will just always be right. All right, number one. Here's what's going to happen. Your others are going to be angry and possibly show aggressive behavior towards you. And it may be, you know, what is that? Passive aggressive, not speaking to you, giving you the cold shoulder, all this stuff. You ever heard this? It may be that kind of passive-aggressive behavior. Or it may be straight out the real deal. Anger, retaliation. So in chapter 19, so Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah and said, listen, may the gods greatly punish me and do so severely if I don't make your life like one of them by this time tomorrow. Who's one of them? It's the Baal prophets. They were dead. You're going to make some people mad. And like I say, it can be passive aggressive or it can be, you know, retaliation. And this can be at the cafe, at the barbershop, or on Facebook. That's where most cowards air out their grievances, is on Facebook. Y'all thought y'all had a nice preacher? I'm feeling kind of bloody. Fear. Chapter 19, verse 3. Elijah became afraid. This is the same guy that saw all that stuff happen, called down fire from heaven. He's scared to death. Now, a lot of these tie into one another because next is, what's this? Because he is fearful, he isolates. Uh-oh, what's this in chapter 19? He went on a day's journey. He's by himself. He sat down under a broom tree and prayed that he might die because he's by himself. And then here it comes. Guys, I've done this for 20 years now. And then prior to that, I was in the public schools for 15 years. This is a common denominator of depression, is isolation. The more you isolate, the more it breeds depression. The more you isolate from other people when you're struggling, the greater chances of depression sitting in. Try to do conflict by yourself is not a good idea. Elijah literally said in chapter 19, he said, I have had enough. Lord, just take my life. And you know what's crazy about this? It's like that old Boston song. Yeah, we quote rock music, classic rock music at Crossbrand. See beyond the road I'm driving. Yeah, that's what we all got to do, man, is see beyond where we're at. You know, when the fog covers us up, you don't pull over and quit. Oh, I'm just not going to go on this trip. It's foggy. I can't see. Quit being such a sissy. Go slower, dummy. Keep driving, but go slower. And so here's the thing, that he was so covered up with this fog of depression because he was alone. He forgot the fact that he called a drought. He forgot that he called a rainstorm. He forgot that he'd healed a widow's kid. He forgot that birds actually had brought him food while he was hiding. God had done great things for him. He, like us, needs to hear the song the band just played. You've been so faithful. All my life, you've been so, so good. And when I get kind of pouty and down, I have to look back and go, oh, my gosh, God's good. Now, depression left him, so isolation, depression, you know what's next? It's always next for us, is this self-pity and over-exaggeration of your circumstances. And that's what happens. I mean, a lot of y'all make up stuff to worry about. You know why? Because I do too. You know, you just get out there and you start, the devil starts kind of whispering in your ear or whatever the devil does, and you just fall into this pit of self-pity and over-exaggeration about your situation. And in chapter 19 and verse 10, I've been so, God, I've done such zealous things for you. In other words, you know, I'm hot dog prophet. But the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, and they've torn down your altars. They killed your prophets with the sword. And listen to this, I'm all alone. And they're looking to take my life. Well, in a minute, we're going to read you another scripture. That's not true. There's 7,000 people that's going to get us back. There's a group of prophets that's going to get us back. There's a group. There's one specific prophet that's going to take his place and be his apprentice, and his name is Elisha. Let me show you how God responded and what God did after we take a stand. Well, let me show you what happens to Elijah. Number one, God's going to be present. God is going to be present. Plain and simple, in chapter 19, he said, go out and stand on the mountain. Now, I don't have much time, so you need to read this when you get home. This is one of the coolest stories. Elijah is hanging out in a cave. He steps out when the Lord tells him to, and he sees some incredible stuff happen. All right? Big, sensational stuff. A great mighty wind was shattering the cliffs. That's scary. But the Lord wasn't in that wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a voice. A soft whisper. Lord came to Elijah, said, I'm not going to use all this sensational stuff to get your attention. I'm just going to speak to you in your heart. Listen, based on your information, God may speak to you out loud. you might want to check and see if there's any hallucinating that goes along with some of your prescriptions. I'm not saying God can't speak to you. I'm saying that's not his number one choice. Where God speaks to most of us now, is not in the sensational, not in the burning bush, not in all these other things, but he speaks to us through our spirit and our conscience, which is informed by our community and by the Word. That's how he speaks to me. Usually after we take a stand, you're not going to have this sensational thing happen to you. Something where you go out and go, wow. And, you know, every morning I get up, you know, where we feed cattle, my front yard is not far from where we feed cattle. And I'm talking about, like, everyday grain. And so you can imagine how popular we are with the blackbirds. And it is the prettiest thing ever. Now, every once in a while I have to look down because I get seasick in a rocking chair. And so them thing doing all this stuff, going around, I'm going, whoa. I've never had LSD, but wow. And, you know, I could make a lot of stuff up about that. Oh, the Lord, that was an S. Yes, Lord, it's an S. Was that a T? Oh, it's an O. It's a P. Yes, Lord, I'll stop. Stop what? And then the birds are gone. Now, that's not the way the Lord, it's not the way that works. Get in his word. Get with your community. God's going to speak. Number two, God's going to provide for us. Now I got to go on, but you understand, the ravens brought him bread and meat. During these times that you, it don't feel right, but listen, God's going to provide for you. He's not going to leave you. And number next, here's what happens to Elijah. God's going to provide people to encourage him. 7,000, God says, I've got. And then there was Elisha. And there was Elisha. I'm going to wrap this up, but I want to show you something. You know what happened after all those stands he took? Literally what happens in Israel. So number one, and you can take this. I'm not going to read all the scriptures, but they're there if you got the QR code. But number one, Ahab's heart was changed for a little while. When Elijah confronted him, talked about all the blood and the dogs and all that stuff, I'm telling you, he knew what it was like to get on the wrong side of God, and he was humbled. And he did what in Jewish tradition was. He got in sackcloth, he got in dust, put dust on his head. He humbled himself before the nation. And you'll find that oftentimes in your life that people are going to respond that way, which is ultimately what we want. We don't want anybody to get bad. We don't want anybody to die. We don't want anybody to get arrested. We just want people to be well and to do the right thing. Baal was removed. I got to read this scripture. Sorry, there's a little sarcasm in what I'm fixing to say to you. Y'all ready? It may not be up there. I didn't send it to the media team. 2 Kings 10. So we jump forward 10 chapters in the second book of Kings. They brought out the altar of the temple of Baal, and they burned it. They tore down the pillar of Baal. And this is all after all Elisha's stands. This happened because of him. They tore down the temple of Baal and made it into a latrine. They literally were pee-peeing on Baal. Elijah's stand, it mattered. And yours will too if you do it right. Poor leaders were removed. Elijah was honored in his exit. Now I got to read this to you. Elijah was poor man. He had never been on a chariot before. Chariots were reserved for nobility, royalty, heads of state. 2 Kings chapter 2, and they continued walking, talking. Who? Elisha. And a chariot of fire with horses of fire suddenly appeared and separated the two of them. He was taken to heaven in a whirlwind. That's a heck of an exit. I don't know about you, but that's a heck of, and the reason I'm bringing this up is God favored Elisha. God favors us when we stand correctly. He's still on your side. He still has your back, even though it don't feel like it. And just let me remind you, for you and I, the everyday stands that we take, the stand that you're going to have to make when you make a phone call to some of your family some of your work-related personalities, when you do that, people are going to get helped. Not everyone is going to respond to your stand. You know, Jezebel didn't, but Ahab did. But people are going to get help. Number two, God's going to get credit. God's going to get promoted. In other words, it's this idea that when I do things for the right, that ultimately people are going to go, yeah, that is God. That is God. And then finally, I honestly believe we get blessed, whether it's financially, physically, relationally, emotionally. You see, there's a heavy weight. Can you imagine if Elijah did not take a stand? The weight of guilt on him for not doing what was right. And there's an incredible amount of weight on you and I when we have to go take a stand. I want to close with a great quote from David Platt. He does a good job. He's a good guy. If you can trust God to save you for eternity, in other words, it's your salvation, you can trust him to lead you for a lifetime, and that's even in the stands. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, simplicity of it, clarity. And I pray today that there's someone here that's been prompted to do something, to intervene, to confront, that you'll give them the strength to do it. Secondly, Father, if there's someone here that has drifted or someone that has never invited you into their life, I pray that they'll head down front, they'll talk to one of these prayer partners, or from right where they sit, they'll say, Jesus, I am a mess. Please forgive me. Change me.
Do you have questions about today's message? Or did you make a personal decision to follow Jesus? We would love to hear from you. Find us online at crossbrandcowboychurch.org or call us at 903-535-9155.